This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. 406 and 84 degrees. We were just a little off on our...
Yeah, just a tad. You know, 12 degrees is not much, you know.
No, that ain't much.
Yeah, no, what the heck?
Have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
Never. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know, the interesting thing is that I like to come in through looking glass because I-5, I hate it. But, you know, I see these little scorched areas beside the highway coming in. You know, several of them, half a dozen of them. And you wonder, well, now there was no lightning, there was no this, there was no that. Either somebody threw a cigarette out or a flare or a Molotov cocktail or something. I don't know what.
Right.
But I believe that there is some element of our population around here that's doing this on purpose. I mean, I believe that. Mm-hmm. It's just too coincidental.
My neighbor believes that, too.
Yeah.
Antifa, he said.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. Cause havoc and panic and disruption in the rural areas of the state, not just Portland downtown.
Yeah, it just seems like too much all at once.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen that.
No.
Never. Occasionally you see some grass. Too many of them.
Too many of them all over the
place.
And
too many and out in 10 Mile the same way. So,
it is definitely weird.
Yeah. Well, I better never see anybody doing it because they're going to pay with they're going to pay a big hurt.
A little buckshot.
Could be, but 357s don't have buckshot. Oh, golly. But
no.
Okay. Well, anyway, enough of that. Thank you for listening today. This is supposed to be an educational show about your lawns and your gardens and that kind of thing. And if you have questions, no matter what I'm speaking about, you may. Ask your question. Give us a call at 673-4464, 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here. You ask a question, we'll have a conversation, and talk about shrubs, lawns, trees, rocks, pavement, whatever, you know, anything like that. But, you know, over the last few shows, I've been talking about you know, keeping your lawn alive, your shrubs alive, your trees alive, especially the newly planted ones, like in the last year or so, that kind of thing. And what I've been suggesting to my clients as I meet with them is to plant, you know, hardy stuff, hardy plants that can survive with little water and hot sun. And, you know, you go, geez Louise, we've been having a lot of hot sun. But there are many attractive plants that will flourish in these kinds of conditions with minimal watering. And the one that I'm going to talk about today, which needs almost no watering, are junipers. And people go, junipers, I hate junipers. But you know what? Don't hate junipers. They're a good, tough plant. They rarely get...
They're your friend.
They rarely get diseased. They rarely get eaten by deer. Wow. And if you forget to water for 2 weeks, don't worry about it. They're going to survive. You know, there's a lot of good pluses to junipers. But they do well in our area, and there's many varieties that are attractive and colorful. And if you have a computer, get online and see what's available. I use the Western Garden Book because it's like the encyclopedia of plants for the Pacific Northwest. But junipers, they come in all shapes, sizes, colors. In the Western Garden Book, there are I was looking and doing research. There are 70 varieties of the shrub types, those that only get, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet and spread. 70 varieties, and there are different colors, different textures, different growth habits. Some lay flat on the ground, some arch up to about 6 feet, some are in between. You know, so there's a lot to choose from. And and if you do look these up, they have the descriptions as to the size, the growth habit, the color, the care. And then there are tree types as well. There was 10 varieties of tree types, and there was about 15 or 20 in betweeners, you might say, that they're upright juniper, but they'll get, you know, 15, 20 feet and stop at that, about that height or 12 feet, and they're more of the columnar upright types. There's a lot to choose from, and like I say, they're tough. They don't die because it got at 98 degrees, where it actually only got to 84. But listed in the book is the descriptions as to size, growth, habit, color. Growth habit. Do they grow 6 inches a year or you know, a foot and a half a year. And most junipers are very slow growing, so they're not something that's going to decimate your yard or take over. And like I say, they like heat. They like full sun. They take a little bit of water to survive, and they'll just basically grow in any soil type that we have here in Douglas County, as long as it's not a swamp. They do not like water. They do not like swamps. So you won't find them growing naturally in a swamp anywhere.
So you got to drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, yeah. But size-wise, for instance, they can hug the ground, like I said, be almost flat on the ground. There are varieties that do that, or they grow into trees. Now, the varieties that hug the ground, they're okay, but I don't like them because after a while, if you don't prune them a little bit and take out some of the dead, being flat on the ground, they seem to get a mold or some kind of thing that just starts to turn them brown. But if you use the very flat type to hang over a retaining wall where they have air circulation, they do a whole lot better. And I try to avoid those varieties unless they're, specifically requested by a client. And say, yeah, I want the type that, just grows on the ground and blah, blah, blah. Well, tree types that I was talking about earlier, they can grow anywhere from 10 to 50 feet. There are some that will grow 50 feet. There was one that the western juniper can grow up to 60 feet. And it's it's a long-lived tree. And its growth range goes from central Washington to Southern California, so it has a great range, and it does well here. It does well in Oregon, and it may not do so hot on our coast because of the
moisture.
The moisture, basically, and the fog and that kind of thing. That's just not its thing. But here in central Douglas County or in Bend or in Ontario or Idaho or Nevada, Mexico, whatever.
Mexico.
and the hot, dry places, they will do well. And it's kind of a thing that you can consider when you're landscaping your yard. When you consider, well, I got a lot of deer running around, and they eat this and they eat that. Well, junipers, they might take a bite, but they'll probably spit it out because it's just not to their taste buds. Over the years, I've used juniper in landscape jobs, and there are some types that I like, and then there's some types that they're not my favorites, simply because they don't grow like something you'd want in your yard. They're okay, but with 70 varieties of the shrub type to choose from, certainly, and nobody carries all 70 varieties here, but I've got, three, four, maybe five varieties at any one time in my nursery.
Should be something there for somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a couple of favorites that I like to use. And the spreaders, like I say, go from ground level to, say 3 or 4 feet tall, but they can grow 6 feet wide. Mm. And then there are some that grow 6 to 10 feet wide and get about 4 feet tall. So you got to have a fairly big area for something like that. You don't put them up against the house or next to the driveway. But two of my favorites, one is called Shore Juniper. And the other one is called Gold Coast. And there's one other type called Golden Fitzer. They're all three different in their growth habitat and their looks. Now, Shore Juniper, in my experience and growing them. These two varieties are manageable and attractive at the same time. Gold Coast, for instance, has a new bright gold new growth. I mean, when it's pushing growth in the springtime, the new growth is really bright gold, really really nice looking.
It actually looks like gold.
It does.
I mean, that color.
Yes,
gold.
It does. Yeah. And then the rest of the juniper is a green, but it's a lighter green. It's not like a tam juniper. It's just a real deep green and grows, you know, crazy all everywhere. I'll talk about that too. I've made a few mistakes with that in my early years, but. The Gold Coast is kind of maybe 4 feet wide, maybe 2 feet tall at maturity, somewhere in there. And they're easily pruned and shaped. If you wanted them to keep them smaller, it's a simple thing of just going out and trimming the ends back. And if you see some dead branches in there, and there are always some little dead branches in there, kind of snip them out and open it up a little bit. And that's so air circulation can penetrate the plant, and no bugs. We got plenty of bugs around here. Go in there and
help themselves.
Make a homestead out of it and say, yeah, let's eat this juniper while we're sitting here, Bob. Okay. But both of these varieties are manageable. They're easy to do. The shore juniper is it's a low one. It's not like the ground huggers that I was talking about earlier. It'll grow to about a foot tall. That's it, and about 6 to 8 feet wide over time. But it's a slow grower. All of these are slow growers. But it has real soft needles with kind of a bluish to white green and light green in color, and they're a good one in that they have a longer needle, I guess you'd say, than a lot of the other smaller ones, and they just look fresh and clean, and they're, from what I can see over my years of planting them and growing them, it has one of the least amount of problems, simply because I don't know if it's just tougher or bugs don't like the taste or deer don't like them. I know that because they're kind of, you know, you put your finger on them and they're sharp. The needles are sharp.
Oh, okay.
And so it's not like you grab a handful of them and go, oh yeah, that's a nice soft thing. But the shore juniper are, like I say, lighter green and with a bluish tinge to them, and they work really really well for a ground cover. So these are the kind of plants that you're going to get long life from. You're going to have basically no maintenance. The first year, of course, is always the quote critical year, and that you'd probably have to water them maybe once every 7 to 10 days, give them a good soaking. But after that, they're good to go. Now, tam junipers, I was talking about that earlier. Tams are those dark green ones that invaded us back in the 70s. You know, you could buy tam junipers for, 98 cents a piece in a gallon can. Well, when I was landscaping my old house on Leland Street, I was clearing it up, and I thought, I saw some of these, and I think I paid 95 cents for them, or 90 cents, and I got 4 1-gallon sized. Yeah. And I made the colossal mistake of planting them beside the driveway.
Uh-oh.
Well, within, 2 feet of the driveway, maybe 3 feet. And I planted them about 4 feet apart. But I only had 4 of them, and I thought, well, they look cool. In that little bed that I had created, they did look cool. They were, okay, that looks great. And they were growing. Well, within 3 years, those little cool plants were...
They grew up.
Yeah, they were probably, they were in the driveway about 2 feet at that time.
Oh, geez.
And they had spread onto the sidewalk to the front door.
Whoa.
And part of them, about half onto the the sidewalk, and they were grown into each other. You couldn't tell one from the other. It looked like one big green glob. And right away I thought, you know, I don't like this juniper. You know? And I pruned it up a time or two, but eventually I just tore them out simply because, you know, and that's the biggest mistake people make with juniper of that sort. They plant them too close to the house.
And too many.
Too many, too close together, too close to the sidewalk, too close to the driveway. Yeah. Because when you buy them in a gallon can, they're, you know, they might
cute
have a
little thing.
Yeah, a 12-inch spread. And you go, yeah, those are neat. And you go, yeah, boy, that looks good. And then they water them, and the ones that they don't kill with overwater, they grow.
They grow.
And they do a good job. We got a break, I think.
We do.
Okay.
Here we go. A break is upon us. We'll be right back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, we are back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN. And how's the weather basically treating your business?
It's difficult because, you know, we have to pump the water to it, but still the plants are in black pots, nursery pots.
Yeah.
And so they have more heat than they would in
normally
if they were in the ground, you know,
because
the ground is an insulator. And so a lot of the Japanese maples and, you know, the leaves are kind of brownish and twisted, and, you know, early fall, they can't handle it. But they've got buds. They're all good. They're all green, and they'll live through it. But in the meantime, they're kind of ugly. And the ones that are in the shade look a little bit better, but the ones I've got so many of them that
they can't all be in the shade.
I don't have enough shade for them. But the bigger trees, big shade trees and fruit trees and all that kind of stuff, they're in a bigger pot, and so they have more soil around them, and then when you water them, it stays cooler longer. It's a yearly thing.
Yeah.
It happens. Now I've got a section of plants out in my field that are not in the retail that are, you know, growing and coming on. And I've got about 1,500 Japanese maples out there. They look beautiful because I planted a row of shade trees next to them about 10 years ago. And the shade trees keep them in kind of filtered shade all day. So consequently, they look great. But if I put them up in the retail right now, within a week or two, they start looking kind of yucky.
Yeah,
and,
just kind
of. Yeah, I'll just leave them there until the weather changes. And when the weather changes, I'll bring a portion of them up. And, you know, it's just part of the game that we have to play.
Valley Weather Guesser says it may rain Sunday and Monday. A chance of.
Well, I only want 2 or 3 inches, and that'll settle the dust. And fill my ponds and get my creek running and all that kind of stuff.
We'll put that on your Christmas wish.
Well, I do every morning. I say, Lord, come on, give me some rain. Let's go. 2 inches at least.
At least.
Anyway, I'm talking about junipers and the two favorite types that I like to use. And again, they're the shore juniper and the Gold Coast juniper. And a third place would be the Golden Pfitzer. Golden Pfitzer grows a little bit stronger. It's not as gold. It has gold foliage, but it's not as beautiful as the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast is just, it's really a striking pretty juniper. And there are certain places you plant juniper, and I'll get to that in a little while. But if you do have a question, 673-4464, and I'll be glad to break in there and get you. But remember, either look in a book, a plant book, or the Western Garden book is probably one of the most complete books on plant materials and climatic zones and just a lot of good general information that if you could find one in one of the box stores, or if there's no bookstores anymore, but Amazon, I'm sure has got them. Get one of those, and most of the information that I've gotten over the years, not only from my, I've done it and failed or done it and succeeded, but I use that book a lot simply to see what zones a lot of these plants will work in best, and what their habit is and how much they grow, and the book really is when it gives you information, those are averages, if you will. They're not the exact size or the exact rate of growth or anything like that, because even though our climatic zone might be the central valleys of the state of Oregon, from Medford all the way to Portland, and Portland gets more rain, et cetera, but they'll grow there as well as they'll grow in Medford and Ashland. So even though there's a little bit different climate, they're very versatile and very, very hardy. And with 70 varieties to choose from, certainly you can find one that would
your climate.
Yeah, match your climate and match your taste. So,
yeah.
But here's some tips, too, about, planting and care. And when you're shopping for junipers, what you usually see on the market are the 1 gallon size, the smaller size, and they're easy to plant, and they look good in the plant bed right next to the house, the driveway, or the sidewalk. And because they're small, you plant them about 3 or 4 feet apart and 2 feet from the house, the sidewalk, or the driveway. And this is a common mistake. I already made it. I know. I speak from experience. But because the average person doesn't realize that in 3 to 4 years, they can grow 6 feet wide and 3 feet high.
Who thinks that far ahead?
Yeah. I mean, hey, they're little tiny plants. They can't possibly grow like that. But, they do, the little boogers. And some of them even grow bigger than that. So these cute little shrubs, are growing up your wall, or they find your sidewalk, and they're covered with branches, and you come home late at night one night and there's no light, and you trip over a juniper. Bingo, that's not good. But your choices when you do something like that are to prune them to size. And that takes some significant pruning. And then once you do that, you have to stay on top of it yearly. You trim them a little bit. And if you do it on an annual basis, they look fine. But if you take a large overgrown juniper and have to prune it back significantly to fit the area that it's planted in, it'll look pretty bad for, a year at least, until it regenerates itself and pushes some new growth, and you'd have some barren limbs and that kind of thing. And so it's better to keep on top of it to begin with, and plant them in the correct way, give them space. And I'll talk about spacing here a little bit as far as planting them and where to plant them. But you have to recognize and educate yourself as to, hey, how big are these things really going to get? And can that little small bed along my driveway handle this stuff? Certainly there are other plants that could handle it a lot easier and better and not overgrow the spot. And think about it this way. If you do plant too many and buy too many and stick them all in the kind of the same place, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of your time planting them. And, any professional landscape contractor should be able to tell you, when you say, well, I want this here and I want that there, well, that's going to get this size in X amount of years. And if you don't want it to get that size, you have to continue to prune it. Well, a lot of homeowners that hire a landscape contractor to do the work, they're not really into plant materials and how to take care of them. They have some of the basic information, but I find most people are afraid to prune, thinking they're going to kill or hurt the plant. That's not true. You can prune plants fairly significantly, and you'd be surprised at how much they will recuperate in just a year's time to where they look good again. So that's the kind of thing you want to keep in mind when you're buying these cute little guys, you know. but the other alternative is you yank them out and you start all over again. Again, just educate yourself as to, hey, what do these actually do? How do they grow? Look around your neighborhood. On almost every street in Roseburg, you can find juniper of some type growing along the front of the lot or along the driveway or on the edge of the yard or something like that. Take a look at some of these and see what they look like, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In all this, don't get me wrong, I like junipers, but they have to have their place, and they need room to grow, and they have to have a little bit of maintenance, not much, but a little bit over the long haul of the plant. Now, they're great for slopes, okay, or large areas that you want to have something growing in besides weeds and brush. Now, a lot of our subdivisions, especially the newer ones, because we pretty much ran out of flat ground to build houses on. There are still a few places, but most of the new homes around have a slope of some sort, either in the front yard or the backyard, and they want something that grows there. And normally the slope is a tougher soil. Usually it's a full sun kind of situation, and junipers are a great kind of plant to put in there. Now, let's say, for instance, and this may not make a whole lot of sense, but let's say you got a slope that's 100 feet long and 15 feet wide, your house is in a flat area, and you go out about 25, 30 feet, and then it slopes down to another level. So what kind of plant do you want to put on that slope to hold the bank, to decorate the yard? The flat part of the yard is decorated. It looks good. There's lawns and azaleas and rhodies and whatever. But that slope, it's a significant part. You got to have some kind of a tough ground cover. Then there's other ground covers you can do. But if you choose juniper, let's say, like I say, it's 100 feet long, 8 to 10 feet or 15 feet wide. How many should be planted and on what spacing?
Oh, about 85.
Well, you're getting close, but not quite. But on the 100-foot length, you want to plant these juniper about 8 to 10 feet apart. And you know, you're going in a straight line. You start at the top or the bottom, it doesn't matter, of the slope. And let's say it is 15 feet wide, so keep those numbers in mind. And you plant them at the bottom row, 8 to 10 feet apart, and they go, geez, they're so far apart.
Yeah.
Trust me, in 5 years they're going to be touching. So the 15-foot wide things is going to handle like two rows. You know, some people think, well, I got 15 feet, I need three or four rows. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's way over planted. So from your bottom row, let's say your bottom row is 4 feet from the edge, and so now you're down to 11 feet to plant in. And so you want to build your second row, and you're going to triangulate the plants. And triangulation, in other words, after the first row is planted, you want to stagger the second row so that the plants are not in line with the first row.
Okay.
But you're splitting the middle. You're looking down, say, down the hill at two juniper below you, and in between there's a large space. Well, the second row is planted up the hill, but it's in the center of that. So you triangulate the plants. And it not only does it look good, it gives everybody a lot of space to do. And like I say, they they will not only look good, but they're going to grow, and they're not going to be crowded in a few years, and you'll see. And it also gives you room to walk around the plants and prune them properly. They're not all just jammed together, and you can shape them in any way you want. And there's a few others that I like and also can be an asset to your landscape, but the shore juniper and the Gold Coast are my two favorites because they seem to grow the way I want them when I design a landscape job.
Yeah.
And they're always attractive. And that's what you know, if you just want something green, you can pick any old juniper you want. And it's just green, and it just, you know, kind of does a function. That's it.
Yeah, but you don't want no ugly plants.
No, you don't want no ugly plants. There's lots of ugly plants. But so here's a couple that are not so beautiful, but they're still good performers.
Can we get to that after the break?
If you insist, yes.
All right. Find out what are the 40 ones coming up. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, I guess that was our cue, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, I've been talking about juniper as a very tough, deer-proof, hardy, full sun, don't have to mess with it, don't have to care for it except prune it every once in a while and plant them farther apart than you would normally think, and you'd be in good shape. But there are some others that I like better than a lot of them. A lot of them I don't even carry them in my nursery because if I won't plant them, why should I sell them to somebody else, you know? But you can find those at the box stores.
No, if you really want them.
If you really want to, yeah. But San Jose juniper is, it grows to be about a 2 foot high, 6 foot wide kind of juniper. And it has really small, tight needles and doesn't grow very fast at all. And that's kind of why I like it. Because of its slow rate of growth, you can prune them like into any shape. Like you can make them sculptured little plants. Take a lot of the inner branches out and just have a main branch, maybe three main branches, and it looks good. It looks like something that would belong in a cool park or something.
Nice.
And you can have, that's the kind of thing you can do. And of course, you don't want to be afraid to prune. It's okay. And if you have any artistic ability or imagination, you let's say you got a half a dozen of them and you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take the one farthest away from the line of sight of anybody and experiment on that one and see what you do. And like I say, open it up so that you can see the branching structure. And because the San Jose branches are kind of thick and heavy and a little bit gnarled and kind of twisty. And so it has a real Asian look, if you will, like a bonsai, but it's not a bonsai. It's in the ground, and bonsai is in a pot, but it gives you just a very unique looking shrub. And if you're successful on the first one, or even if you make mistakes on the first one,
you'll
see what your mistakes were.
Exactly.
And then when you go ahead and do the rest, you don't do them all the same way. Have a, you know, just everyone is unique, and try to picture what you want to begin with before you even start cutting. And the obvious stuff is any dead branches or branches that are dwarfed or spindly.
Get them out of there.
Get them out of there. And then as you open up the plant, you can say, oh, okay, now you can see a pattern to it. And once you've done two or three of these, you got it. It's if you're interested in plants at all, you got it. You know, it's easy to do. And like I say, they have a real tight needle system, so they look very exotic when you do this kind of thing. And a lot of times when I go to a homeowner that's had a landscape in for 10 years or 15 years, and it's just totally overgrown, and
taken care of it all.
Yeah, I mean, they tried, but they didn't know how, or they bought the house and the stuff was already planted in there, and it was small.
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and they didn't know what to do exactly, and people think, wow, that's so complicated. Well, to me, computers are complicated, and I don't want anything to do with them. but plants, I got it, baby. and that's what you have to do, is educate folks. And maybe sometimes I give them an example, and I'll do a quick little pruning job for them while they're standing there watching. And bingo, the light bulb goes on. I go, wow, I see that, yeah. And like I say, if you have an artistic bent at all, that also helps, but you have to imagine, how do I want that thing to look when I'm done, and with that picture in mind, that's how you begin to prune. That's how you begin to shape, and it's easy to do. And these San Jose junipers really lend themselves to that, because they are slow growers, and so they don't have long branches that you have to butcher. They're not vigorous in that way.
Yeah.
Their growth is somewhat compact, I guess. And so it just makes a pretty
plant.
A lot
easier to work with.
And they're kind of a juniper that you could bonsai and put in a bonsai pot and really shape them up to be very, very nice.
Speaking of the, what'd you say, bonsai?
Bonsai.
Yeah. I was listening to Howard Stern.
Howard Stern?
Yeah. You know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would he know about bonsai?
Well, he was talking about a movie he saw, the new Karate Kid movie. They're all grown up, Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Really? And his arch enemy, Karate Kid's arch enemy, of course, they get together. Now they have a car lot. They're selling cars, he says.
Good.
Yeah. And with every car he sold, he gave away a
bonsai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started cracking up.
Did this movie just come out?
I think so. Yeah, he said it was new.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'll critique it as we go.
There you go.
Because I watched all the earlier Karate Kid movies.
Yeah,
I did too. Very first one, wax on, wax off,
right.
And the kid was going, what? Well, and then you see this guy's yard. It's absolutely fantastic. And most of those plants were juniper in there. But if anybody ever saw the movie and you recall what the plants look like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you can create in your own yard simply by pruning. You don't have to yank them out if you start with the right things to begin with.
Right.
But and you do the maintenance on them. And the maintenance, we're not talking days and weeks. We're talking, a few hours, maybe once a month to kind of get them going in the direction you want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really simple. But anyway, on the San Jose's, like I said, you can prune them in any shape you like. And they in the ground, of course, they're not called bonsai. Some people do. There's bonsais. No, they're not bonsais. It's bonsai. But they're actually called sculptured when they're growing in the ground. And you can have that sculptured look all the way through your yard. And again, the San Jose are very, very attractive in their dark green short needles and their thick branches that are not straight, but kind of bendy and gnarled, and they look old right off the bat.
Yeah. Kind of like me.
Yeah, kind of like you. No. Another one along those same lines that it's in my second tier of I like this kind of juniper. It's called an Andorra juniper.
Andorra.
Oh. And this one is like over the long haul. It's about a foot and a half tall, maybe 2 feet at a long time. But it can grow up to about 10 feet wide.
Wow.
But it can be pruned, of course, to keep smaller. And what I like about this juniper is the color. In the spring and in the summer, the needles are like a gray-green, kind of a green with a grayish tint to them. Mm-hmm. And when the cold weather hits, all the foliage turns a plum color.
It's just kind of a purple.
Yeah, yeah. Not quite purple, but plum, you know, just kind of off that. Yeah, and it just, you know, you get a 35 degree day and it's been say 60 and all of a sudden you get a 35 degree day with and a, say a week of that kind of weather and the foliage just turns to that plum color.
Oh.
Very, you know, it's
you can almost predict the weather with them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to say anything else about that.
Okay. Don't light them on fire, whatever you do. But you know, and they stay that plum color until the weather, you know, say in March or April begins to warm up, and then that plum color and the new growth comes out bright, bright, fresh green again.
So, nice.
Yeah, they're very, very attractive in that respect. And lastly, you know, the Japanese garden juniper I was is another type of small needled juniper, very, very slow growing and almost a dwarf type, and that also makes a great bonsai in a pot. And but and they have a green, blue green foliage on very heavy branches, and you can put them in the ground, but you can't expect a rapid, fast growth to them. Okay. Whereas the slope thing I was talking about earlier with the Gold Coast juniper or any juniper, I like the Gold Coast because it's so showy,
yeah,
is that, you know, they will fill in over, you know, a 5 to 7 year period. They'll be begin to touch if you never prune them. They'll begin to touch, and it's just, I have a client out on, Melrose Road, and he had this kind of situation. They were from San Francisco area a few years back, and they just built this brand new house, and they had the same, this identical situation I'm talking about, flat front yard and then a slope down to the pasture. Well, their house sits probably 500 feet off the road, and you can drive by it, but as you drive by it now the landscape's been, this is his third year, I believe. As you drive by, that golden bank is really noticeable. It just jumps right out at you,
cool.
You know, with these
cool
Gold Coast juniper.
Yeah, yeah.
And they love it. They just love it. And it looks really, really, really sharp. It's not something that is just green. No, it's golden light green.
Really stands out.
Yeah, stands out. And that's what you want to do when you're landscaping, especially if you got a brand new home. And we got another break or
we
something?
Do.
Okay.
You want to kind of be showy if you have a new home.
Woo! You know, we ought to have pictures on this here radio so we can show the people what we're talking about.
Maybe that's coming up next. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, the man with the vision, Mike Winters.
Well, you know, when I wear my glasses, I got great vision, you know. I'm going to switch horses here for the last little segment.
Okay.
And do a little something on, you know, like what do you do in this prolonged heat? You know, my grass is brown. Oh, gosh. Well, if you water your grass less, it starts to brown up. And if your water bill is high, okay, let it turn brown. The good news is that even if it turns brown, it ain't dead. It ain't. Just it's an extreme dormancy. You know,
so if it's brown, you don't have to flush it down.
No, don't. Stop. Oh, that was okay. But it's in extreme dormancy. It will come back when the first fall rains hit our area. It will. It'll turn green, even though it's wintertime. Look at our brown hills, okay? They're browner and brown right now, and they appear to be dead. But as soon as the rain starts, they're going to begin to grow and turn green again. Mm-hmm. Well, all grass is the same way, you know? There is a seed in the ground that sits until conditions are right, and then it germinates. My point is, there's no need to plant a brand new lawn because yours is brown. You may have to overseed it and fertilize it this fall, but you don't have to rip it up and start again. It's not necessary. I know I speak from experience because my whole front yard is as brown as you can possibly get, and it looks, and there's bare spots in it. But you know, in the springtime, I gotta mow it twice a week practically because it grows back so fast, so thick, and I don't fertilize it like it's a lawn because it's kind of a field almost. Oh. But it still stays green till about the middle of June before it starts to turn brown again. In fact, I still got a few green pieces of grass that are kind of shady right now, mm-hmm. and they haven't had a bit of water since the last rain. So, you know,
that was a long time ago.
I know, and I don't have the water pump on to it to turn it green. It just you don't have to worry about it.
It's so out there by itself.
So don't put in a new lawn. Don't panic. Just overseed it, water it. If you can afford to water to bring it back, you can do that. But once you start that watering process, you got to continue with it. And you know, it reflects on your water bill when it City of Roseburg or Winston or Sutherland send you that bill. You know, Roberts
yeah.
Creek.
Whoever. They love it.
you know, that's and again, the trees in the ground that's and the shrubs in the ground that have been in there for a couple of seasons, a couple of years, they got a root system that's down, it's deep, it's not a brand new planted plant. Don't think you gotta water them every day or every other day. You know, if you hit them once a week or once every 10 days, hey, you're good to go. That's how often I water my giant rhododendrons at home. Today when I went home for a little bit, they were kind of looking a little wilty, but I haven't watered them in 5 days, and it's been, you know, very, very warm. Now it's smoky warm, so tonight when I get home, I'll give them a shot, and that'll be good for, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 days. And when you water them, when I water in the evening, I give them, you know, maybe 3-4 gallons, maybe 5 gallons of water. They're big plants. They're, you know, 6-7 feet tall and 6-7 feet wide, and they're still, you know, ugly looking when it gets dark, but the next morning they've already perked up and they're all, and the leaves are out straight and it looks good again. So they don't just die instantaneously. They're good to go for another week at that point. And as soon as the weather really breaks down into the 60s and 70s and, you know, one or two rains, hey, I don't water them again till next June, for crying out loud. So don't waste your time, don't waste your water, and don't run up your bill. So how's that?
There you go. Sounds good.
Are we done?
Almost.
Almost. Well, I got 12 more minutes to go.
Seconds. 12 seconds.
10, 9, 8. Thank you for listening today.
Stop.
If you have a question, save it for next week. Bye-bye.
Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Oh, we're about a half mile south of the one stoplight in Winston. We're the second nursery on the left after you cross the South Umpqua River.
Yep.
And all of our roofs on all of our buildings are green. You can't miss us. It's winter green.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.